Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. We have been in a series of talks on being stretched for more, and I really felt like the word of the Lord for this house, this body, for you, and for me, for some of y'all, from what I just heard, I can't even say anything. Don't ever tell me stuff that I, when I'm under the anointing, and then you expect me to hit the platform and not say. All I'm going to say is, when you say stretch for more, watch out. Watch out. Amen? See, Bobby and Lori didn't say stretch for more last year before the marriage conference, but God knew their heart was to be stretched for more, and God multiplied in their house. Amen? That's all I'm going to say about that right there. Woo! I did good. I know I made somebody nervous. Said I wasn't going to say nothing. But anyway. You can't do that. So stretch for more. Stretch for more. I'm going to move right along. Stretch for more. I know. Here we go. So stretch for more. These bracelets, we handed out bracelets at the beginning of the series, being stretched for more. As a matter of fact, somebody came up to me just this past week, and we were having a conversation. I looked down and I saw their bracelet. I said, man, that's cool that you got your band on. He said, yeah, but it's kind of dirty. He said, who would have known that being stretched is dirty work? I said, that'll preach right there. I'm going to steal that. Can I please take that? Who would have known that being stretched is dirty work? Well, we actually had somebody in the church that came and said, you know what? I'm going to sow a seed, and I'm going to write a check, and I want you to go design a bracelet that says whatever you want to say on it. And I said, well, you know what? We're in this series called Being Stretched for More. And these right here, eventually, you know, they wear and tear. So we've got bracelets. Matter of fact, they'll be here before Sunday that says forward, stretched for more. Okay, it's going to be, I think, an inch thick bracelet, black with lime green writing on it. They said, this is what I want to do. I want you to sell them for $5 a piece so that we can send our students. This is how we're doing it. So our kids don't have to worry about mom and daddy paying for their hotel, how they going to get there, their food when they get there. We're going to raise the money to make this thing happen because somebody else sowed a seed and said, I want you to design it, order it, and it'll be here this Sunday. You can pick up yours on before you leave on Sunday. Forward, stretched for more. But tonight, the message title is simply this, Pressed for Purpose. I was like, God, we're in this thing of being stretched for more. What happens? Well, I think it's important that we don't put a facade in front of you that says once you get saved, everything's going to smell like cheesecake and strawberries and molasses and syrup. Okay? You're going to go through things when you get saved. I think for the longest time, the church painted this picture that once you get saved, everything's going to be just a bed of roses. That's not the case. That's why people were leaving in the church, and I'm talking about back some years. People were leaving the church in droves because they were given the expectation that once you get saved, God works everything out. Oh, he will work it out for your good. But if there's nothing going on, there's nothing for him to work out. That'll preach right there. But when we pray, God, stretch me for more. Turn me down just a little bit because I feel like I see hearing aids going. Turn him down a little bit. So when you begin praying prayers like stretch me for more, inevitably pressure will come. Anybody prayed that prayer and pressure came in the house? Some of y'all, I can't. It's been so tough, I can't even lift my hands. Yeah. When you say, God, stretch me for more, inevitably the pressure is coming. But what we learned that until the rubber band is stretched, it is not truly reaching its fullest potential. Until you are stretched, you are not going to reach your fullest potential of what God wants to do in your life. Well, how do I get what he wants to do in me? You got to be stretched. So when we take steps forward, we begin to move the ball down the court. When we say, God, stretch me for more, we move the ball down the court. I'm not a big sports person. I know some of y'all are like, yeah, but your dad was the coach. That just wasn't my deal. That just wasn't me. But I love watching college football, and I love going to high school basketball games. Now, I have since been told I can't show up at the basketball games anymore. Somebody said, oh, you got took to the principal's office. Y'all know how weird that would be if you got to go sit in your dad's office and be told you can't come. No, my wife told me, you can't go to the games no more. You know why? Because you were right up close and personal with every player. You see all the dirty, you know, slide marks, you know, when they putting their foot out and tripping people up and that kind of crazy stuff. And I mean, I'd be talking to the refs like, hey, ref, who, how many y'all? I mean, because the other coaches, they're trying to tell the refs how to ref the game. I'm like, how many of them are out there? You're supposed to have three. Y'all got like an extra one over there on the other bench. And Amy's like, would you please sit down? I'm like, you asked me to come and then not to get involved? See, that's how it should be in the church. You're asked to come and the enemy's like, no, sit down. Just don't get excited. See? But it's there's something about on the basketball court. What really gets my emotions is when they get that full court press. You know what I'm talking about? Like when they're trying down here and trying to get the ball to the other end. They just got the ball, but the whole team is like rushing you. Like that will get me all jacked up. It's what you call a full court press. I want to do an illustration tonight, and I didn't ask for anybody to help, so I'm just going to do it this way. I need Matt. You're gonna be God, and I need Jose. I need you to be Jesus, and I need come on, James. I want you to be the Holy Spirit for me, okay? And then I need somebody to be the devil. You don't have to say anything. You're just gonna stand. You're gonna be the devil. Okay, y'all come up here real quick. We're going to work this out. I want to show you something about this full court press. This is what God showed me. So you're going to be the devil, so you stand over here. Who are you? You're the Holy Spirit. You stand right here with me. God, you come right here. You come right here, okay? And you turn this way. Holy Spirit's with me, and you're Jesus, right? Okay, so you come up this way just a little bit. Jesus is there. Okay, now, follow me. I know I'm talking real fast. God, whenever you start saying prayers like stretch me for more, okay? God has your back. Put your hands right here. I just took you out. God has your back. Wherever you go, he's got your back. Now, Jesus is on the other side because the word says that he goes before us, right? And then you got the Holy Spirit that's going to be right here with me. The Holy Spirit comes with us. I know they're like, we didn't practice this. That's right. We just going to do this thing. And then when you begin to say things like stretch me for more, the enemy begins to come and begin to press on you when you know the direction of where you're supposed to go is that way. Okay? Now, two things can happen. Don't get too excited, devil, because I might have to take you out. I might have to release God on you. I'm just saying. But the cool thing is, two things happen. Number one, I can either tuck my tail, duck, and run, and God will let me do that. He'll let me have my way. But I'm the whole time, the Holy Spirit's like, but we're supposed to be going forward. Or I can take the pressure of what's coming at me, and I can turn that same motivation to push him out the way, grab the Holy Spirit, and say, we're going this way. See, you can take the pressure of what's coming at you and use it to your advantage. Come on, y'all give these guys a hand tonight. Somebody say, great job, guys. It was important that I brought them up here, and then I saw something else that when we were all standing here, it's important that you have people with you, and what I saw was actually the rest of the body, you guys, lining this way and then aligned that way, because two things will happen whenever the pressure comes. You'll either tuck, duck, and run, or you'll go forward. But what happens is if you've surrounded yourself with the body or the church, if I would have had them lined all the way up, it would have taken me more steps to go the other direction. And actually, I could have hurt myself trying to come off the stage to get around them versus easier going the other direction. But the enemy has convinced us that the easiest step is to turn and go the other way. It is easy if you don't have anybody surrounding you. I didn't want to take up the time to show you that, but that's what God showed me as I was sitting at the table today. It was make sure they understand that you stay connected to the church. It's important that you stay rooted because you can't grow where you're not planted. I'm not going to be right there for right now because that's coming up in the message, but it is important that you get planted and then you grow roots. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I was looking this up, and after God showed me that illustration, and I just looked up, I said, what are the advantages of pressure? Because we always look at pressure as a negative. And I said, what are the advantages of it? So I went to the internet, and I said, and it said, there was a forum that was going on. And the question that was asked was this: what are the different ways of converting pressure energy into useful energy. Pressed energy into useful energy. I learned something else on the internet. There is such a thing called a stress engineer. Who knew? I need to go talk to the, he may have a couch in his office that I can lay on and de-stress. Everybody say de-stress. I don't think it's that kind of stress engineer. But this was his response. A difference in pressure provides a force that can be used to move something. Not just the pressure, because the enemy's not going to come at you one way. He's going to slack up a little bit to, you know, just to get you to catch you off guard. His response was a difference in pressure. When he comes hard, and then he comes a little softer, and then he comes around a different way. A difference in pressure provides a force that can be used to move something. That's an educated man right there. Stress engineer. Make sure you're surrounding yourself with good people who are going to support you in the direction that God wants for your life and the direction that we all should be going together. Amen? So in this series, we're going to be looking at the problem behind the pressure, the product behind the pressure, and the power behind the pressure. We're not going to get all the way there tonight. I'm really just going to lay some groundwork to understand the importance of not running away from pressure. Because let's face it, our human nature isn't to go, well, let me just walk out today and God will just send something just to blow up in my face today. Anybody ever had that prayer? No, we pray things like, God, please keep me from harm. May angels walk with me and go before me and move anything that might come at me to hurt me or harm me out of my way. Nobody steps out and goes, well, good morning, God. What you going to do today to, you know, just blow something up my face? Just let my hot water heater blow up. May my car just fall apart just while I'm riding down the road. All four tires. Anybody prayed that prayer? But let something happen and we're quick to point the finger and go, God, why did you let that happen? Why did you cause that, God? That's where we're going to be tonight. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 says this, and the God of all grace. Everybody say all grace. I'm not talking about a little dabble, do you? When there's times in my week that I need his grace. I'm talking about amazing grace. Amen? And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. After you have suffered a little while. Stop. That's the part of the verse I'm like, why in the world is that even in there? After you suffered a little while, after you've went through pain, after you've went through heartache, after your world has got flipped upside down, after you have suffered a little while, will himself, who is Jesus or God, restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Say, he wants to perfect me. He wants to perfect me. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, who? Jesus, you are my son. Today I have your father. And he says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who would save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Everybody say, suffered a while. Suffered a while. We're talking about pain, pressure, and suffering. That is not the topic that you want to hear when you come into a Wednesday night after you've had a hellacious week with your boss or your spouse or your kids or your dogs or your cats having kittens. That is not the message you want to come in and hear when you've had a rough week to go, I got to suffer a little bit. We're going to talk about some pain. No, we want to talk about how good God is all the time, and all the time God is good. Talk about how he wants to bless me, and he does. Let's talk about the future that he has for me. We're going to talk about that, but in order to get there, you got to go through something for a little while. It's called pain, pressure, and suffering. I didn't think I was going to get a lot of amens out of that. That's not the Christmas, you know, you go to Christmas, when Christmas rolls around, we do our darndest to make sure the gift looks really, really pretty, right? Nobody just, you know, kicks it around a little bit, makes it look good and go, this is for you, Merry Christmas. But yet that's what God's wrapping up his very best for you, but in order to get that, you have to go through something. Everybody say through something. Doesn't mean you got to get tripped up and stay there. He wants to take you through it. Everybody say through it. So this is not that, let's go to church on Wednesday night and shout a little bit so I can feel real good. No, you're going to feel good when you understand that the pressure that I'm going through, the pain that I'm feeling, there is a purpose behind it, and it's getting me to my purpose. Amen? It's important that we understand what God is doing and why he's allowing it to happen in your life. Say pain, pressure, suffering. We've all been there. We've all had that moment when we've said, God, what are you doing? Haven't we? Some of you are there now. Some of you probably already had that conversation. God, I'm going to church tonight, but what you doing? What are you doing? Y'all thought I was going there, didn't you? What are you doing, God? What do you do when you're hanging on to a promise, believing for a blessing, all the while struggling through present pain? What do you do when you're believing with everything you got for what God has for you, but you're struggling to even really believe it because the pain is just so deep, because the hurt is just so much? What do you do? How do you respond? What do you do with the pain that you're in right now? What do you do with the questions you have? Listen, I don't claim to know everything, but people look to you as a leader or as a pastor when trouble hits and things happen. Why is this happening? I don't always know all the answers, but I'm confident in the one who does, and I know where to find the answer, and it's in the book called the Bible. I may not know. I get texts all the time. Hey, can you help me answer this question and do that? I don't always know. But bless God, you got all kinds of apps and Google. There is no reason why the church should stay dumb. I'm not calling anybody dumb. I'm dumb. There's no reason why I have to stay that way when I have a resource that can tap me into the power of the Holy Ghost. Because let's face it, that's what we need. We need a little more power with the Holy Ghost in our life. Amen? So what we're going to see tonight and in this series is that we are being pressed for purpose. Talk about being stretched for more or pressed for purpose. It's totally the opposite of the picture that the church has painted. It's not a Disney ride. You know, y'all remember that song? I can show you the world, shining splendor and shimmer or whatever. I don't even, Disney, we're past that stage with our girls. But y'all remember that song? That's the picture that the church has painted. That is some magic carpet ride and everything's just it is a whole new world. That's the name of the song. It is a whole new world. But it's more like the Matrix and not Disney. Huh? I've never watched the movie, but I know a little bit of the history or the storyline. And it's you can stay where you are. You can stay in this la-la land and believe it is this way. Or you can actually jump down in and see how far you can go in this thing. And I believe that God is looking for people who are not just walking around in la-la land, praise the Lord, skip to the loo, and here comes the devil tripping you up, and the next thing you know, you're out of church. I mean, sometimes you need to do that Matrix move. I can't do it. I'm a little too old to try. But y'all know that Matrix move, you know. Sometimes you got to do that with the devil just to let him. I mean, when he's coming at you, just throw one of those moves at him and just watch him go, Matrix. This thing that we're in is not an imaginary fairy tale. It's life or death. It's if we don't get it right, our marriages can't stay connected. If we don't get it right, single people will never find the right one. I just believe that I'm talking to a church and I'm looking at a group of people that are saying, stretch me. I want more God. I want more blessing. I want more opportunity to serve. I want more peace. I want more joy. I'm more pressing. God, press me. You know, people for years would say, God, use me. And I want to go, you're not really ready. You don't really mean it. But when people begin to understand, that's why we're talking about this, because I would be doing you a disservice if I said, pray prayers that stretch me, and then I didn't talk about the pressure that's coming. When you begin to say, stretch me for more, bless God, the enemy's coming. I've already had conversations with some of you that have told me how the enemy is already attacking and coming at you. Let me tell you something. When you stand your ground and you get with a group of people that are there for you to support you, who have probably already been through the same thing the enemy's trying to trip you up with, it matters who you hang out with. It matters who you hang out with. Listen, we're building a group of people, and we're putting together a team that wants to step up to the plate and hit a home run every time. That's what we're doing tonight. That's what we're doing. Listen, there's nothing wrong with first base. First base gets you into heaven, but I'm believing for a group of people that want more than just, I want to come on Sunday, tell me when the next spaghetti dinner is, I'll be there. How much tithe? I'll pay that. Oh, we want to help the young people out. We're looking for more people who want to do more than just that. Bless God, they want to steal second base, get to third, and bring this thing on home and bring as many people with them, as many team members as they can. That's been my heart and mission, what I know God put me here in this city for that purpose. And that is to shift things up, flip it up, and get people out of the mindset of, I'm just coming to church and then the rest of the week I'm going to do my thing. If you hang out with me, you're not just going to hang out and just do your thing. We're going to do His thing. We're going to be about His business. We're going to be concerned with what God's concerned about, and that is people. In Walmart today, I might not even get through all of this part one. Y'all know we'll just do it later. But I saw a pastor in Walmart today, and I was asking him, how's he doing and how's things in the ministry? And he said, well, you know, I'm just kind of taking a step back. Things aren't really going like I think. And, you know, some other people are trying to bring up to do stuff in the church. And I said, you're the head. You're the head. If it's not the direction for your church and what God's planted you there, if it's not... You don't need to do it. That's your call. And we stood there and talked for a few minutes, and there were some things, and he was really just struggling about how there wasn't a buy-in from some of the churches in our, we're talking about our city. I don't understand. We're supposed to be doing this thing together. And I told him, y'all have heard me say this before, and I have told him before, and I reminded him, God never called me to bridge the gap between churches. Matter of fact, there shouldn't be a gap between churches. He never called me to bridge that gap. I will not waste my time or His trying to bridge a gap. The gap that we're supposed to be bridging is between God and lost people. God and lost people. God and lost people. God have mercy on ministries who are not wanting to get together and do this thing together. There are not separate subdivisions in heaven. Hello. I feel like I need to preach a little bit, and it's Wednesday night, and I ain't got but a few more minutes. Thanks. And I told him, I said, the enemy would love to get us so consumed with, can we be friends? Can we do this thing together? The enemy would love for us to spend all of our time and all of our resources trying to do that when the rest of the world, the rest of Levy County, the other 45,000 people that live in our county are going to hell. What are we going to do about it? I'm not wasting my time. If you don't want to get on the bandwagon, bless God, I'm doing this thing for Jesus. It's all about Him, and I'm going to see how many people I can take with me to heaven, because that's where I'm headed. That sounded ugly, Pastor B. I'm just telling you, it's not ugliness at other churches. It's ugliness at the enemy to go, you're not going to fool me. I'm not going to get concerned with if we can get the budget or the bank account for the church like this so we can sit on it like a fat cow. I'm not about that stuff. Let's bring in the money so we can go out and bless people, so we can go out and do things, so we can go be what God needs us to be for lost people. You sound like you got a... I do have a lot of stuff. When I sit at the house and I'm thinking about the mission and what God's called all of us to do, I get one shot on Wednesday nights. I get 30 minutes to try to set you on fire to get you to go, you know what? He sure is breathing real hard. Maybe if I jumped up and helped him a little bit, he wouldn't be so tired and sweat all the time. That's funny, but I'm really being serious. We're talking about a church that walks in authority. See, people mistake boldness for haughtiness. People mistake me and think, just because, no, don't mistake my boldness because I know what God's called me to do for arrogance or haughtiness. They're totally different. I know it who gives me the strength, but and because I know I'm going to be held accountable with what I do with that strength and how I communicate what he wants for his house. It's our human nature to run away from pain. It's our human nature when we see it coming to turn and walk the other way. But in it's our nature to run. But in spiritual growth and development, we must understand that God uses the pain. You, if you're taking notes, write this down. This is where we're gonna land in just a minute. It's important that we understand that in order to grow spiritually, we can't run away from the pain. Why? Because God wants to utilize the pain. And there is a difference between sending pain and utilizing pain. God will utilize the pain to produce something in you that will outlast you. He will utilize the pain to produce something in you that will outlast you. It's important that we stay aligned with what God wants for our life. Have you ever been somewhere, had a need, like, and nobody knew it, but before you left that place, that need was met? Has that ever happened to somebody? Like, you went to church, you had a need, didn't tell nobody, but God knew, and all of a sudden, miraculously, it happened? Or maybe you went to Bill's. Maybe the guy went to Bill's tonight, didn't have the money. He was just thinking, God, you told me just to go. I believe that God would say, you just go eat. I'll take care of the tab. Now, don't walk up to Lacey and go, hey, I'm here tonight. I ain't got no money, but Jesus said he's going to take care of the tab. See, there's a difference in having foolish faith that looks kind of weird. If it looks weird, Jesus ain't about it. Because Jesus, that's religion. That's religious stuff. I have a hard time with that. But, and the reason, because the lenses that I see through are the lenses of lost people. Not does it offend them. The word does offend, but it also convicts. But he will never do anything to confuse a lost person. If you look like, you know, you say Holy Ghost, they're thinking Casper. So I always want to be careful the verbiage and the terminology that I use, so I make sure that, because if the lost people are running away from me, I'm not doing what God's called me to do. Okay? I feel like God's just throwing so much out here, and I are you getting anything out of this tonight? This is what I was going with that. When you have a need, it's important that you're where God wants you to be. A lot of people miss out on his provision because they weren't where he will always send the provision to where you're supposed to be. There's a lot of people who are missing out on the provision of God because they don't know the purpose and they're not where they're supposed to be. That's not on God. God, I thought you was going to be at church. I thought you was going to be here. That's why it's important that we listen to the voice of God for our lives. There is a purpose behind the pressure. There is purpose behind your tears. There's purpose. Man, I would love to avoid pain. Are you kidding? I would love to avoid suffering. But the truth is, to avoid pain is to actually avoid growth. When you see it coming and you detour, you're avoiding the growth. You're missing out on what God wants for you. It's called growing pains. Growing pains. God is trying to mature us so that we're not moved by the storm, and that we're to be rooted by the one who controls the wind and the rain. Everybody say rooted. We're not to be moved by our circumstances when we're firmly rooted and grounded in the Word. The storm, if you're firmly rooted and grounded in God, the storm can come. Your leaves may fall off. I got leaves in my yard that still ain't, my trees that still ain't recovered from. I got some leaning cockeyed. Still hadn't recovered from the storm, but bless God, that tree is still there. Why? Because there's root. I mean, there's some buds that are starting to come back. It doesn't matter what kind of storm you're going through or how hard the wind blows or what pain is coming at you, adversity is coming at you. As long as you're rooted, your tree, you will not fall. I guarantee you. Be rooted and grounded in Christ. Everybody say rooted. What am I saying? We cannot avoid the pressure of pain, because to do so means we will not grow. See, we don't preach that in church. Disney World. No. Let's talk about the pain that I have to get through to get what God has for me. Throughout Scripture, there is no one that God used greatly that avoided pain. Not one. Not one. Stop running from pain. Stop running. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm just, stop running from pain. Stop running from pressure. Why? Because running from pressure prolongs seasons that you and I are supposed to graduate out of. Come on, somebody. There have been times that I have avoided, in my own life, I've avoided pain, but I prolonged the season for how long I was really supposed to be in that mess. Because I didn't want to go through the pain. But when I'm rooted and I understand that God is with me and the Lord goes before me, He's already marked out my days, and I'm not in it by myself. If you're in it by yourself, you chose to be that way. It is hot in here. If you feel like you're alone, that is a choice you're making. And the enemy's winning. The enemy's winning. Because his main objective is to get you isolated and to just yang, 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 yang in your ear and make you feel defeated. And next thing we know, we can't even find you anymore. Not at church. Change your phone number. I don't want the church to call me. Why? Because we've preached this message that causes people to feel that if they mess up in their marriage or they have a moral failure or something happens or they're not living right, that they don't measure up, then they're not supposed to be in the church. If it wasn't for those people, there was no need for Jesus to die on the cross. So whenever you have a mistake, Pastor B's got them. My dad's got them. We all got them. Whenever you have them, the place to be, I've been saying this probably for the past 3 weeks, but it needs to be repeated. Whenever you go through hard times, the church is not the last place to run to, bless God. It should be the first place. Even if it's not time for church, you call Pastor B and you say, can I get in that church house? I need to get before the Lord. Well, there ain't no music. That's okay. I don't need none because I got a song in my heart. Wednesday night's going to turn into revival. I'm just telling you, watch it and see. Watch it and see. Because when people are hungry, you'll show up and you'll go, feed me, feed me, feed me. I want more. More blessing, more God, more pressure, more stress, more strain, whatever, because I know that God is with me and He goes before me and I'm not alone. I get one shot to tell you, it's not cheesecake and pie. But I got one shot to tell you that on the other side of that mountain is your valley. On the other side of whatever's stopping you, whatever's trying to divert you from where God has you to go, that's your blessing, and your miracle is on the other side of that. If it won't move, bless God, walk over it. I said that music was going to help me wind down. Stay rooted. Stay rooted. This is what I'm going to say this. This is what I think about. This is how I look at people who aren't rooted. You're unstable. People who are not rooted are unstable. In the middle of a storm, you don't stand next to a tree that doesn't have good roots. Why? Because when Hurricane Harvey or whoever else is headed this way comes, and if it's not rooted, that tree's coming down, and you will be a casualty. Same thing applies if you hang out with people. That's what God showed me. Same thing applies when you hang out with people who aren't rooted. Because when the wind blows and the storms come, you will become a casualty in someone else's fall. I've watched it happen. That's why it's good to see where you're planted. Is there strong people? Is there strong roots? Is there people who people are going to hold me accountable? That's it. I had to turn the page just to make sure. Next week, we're going to look at God's character as to why He allows. There's a difference. I want us to look at His character so we can just, we're not going to wrap our minds around and go, oh, that's why. But we'll have a better understanding of why it's important that we don't run from it, because He's working all things out for our good. This is Romans 5 something, I can't remember, 5:28 maybe. He works all things out for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. People can say, I love God, but if they don't get rooted in a house of worship, it'd be like me saying, oh, I love my wife, but I don't ever go home. I sleep with other people. Come on now. Y'all can see the spiritual part of that. Oh, I love Jesus, but I'm going to go sleep around. Make sure you're hanging out with people who are rooted. Deep roots in God. Everybody stand tonight. 2 minutes over, but I'm good. Father, I thank you for this house.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.